Atlas Asari, Iran says the least the West can do is to stay neutral about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
سکوت کنید. کاری نداشته باشید. دستتون از پشت صهیونیست‌ها بردارید. این چه دیگه میشه که؟
At least two Afghan civilians are killed in a U.S. attack in eastern Afghanistan.
The U.S. forces launched two rockets from their base. The Taliban militants were the main target, but these two rockets didn't reach to the intended target and hit a house, killing two children and wounding four others.
Also ahead, the UN Human Rights Council passes a resolution condemning Islamophobic behavior, including Switzerland's ban on minaret building. It is 2100 GMT and 1:30 a.m. here in Tehran. Welcome to this edition of Press TV's World News. Well, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has strongly criticized the West's support for Israel.
نمیگیم بیاد علیه اونا موضع‌گیری کنید. نمیتونید. در تمام دنیای غرب هیچ رجل سیاسی شجاعی پیدا نمیشه که در مقابل این صهیونیست‌های فاسد بایسته که مسلط شدن بر ملت‌های اروپایی و آمریکایی و تحقیر کردن ملت‌های اروپایی و آمریکایی رو با این اقدامات جنایتبارشون. پیدا نمیشه. حالا ظاهرا انشالله در آینده پیدا بشه. بسیار خوب، ما سطح توقعمون رو میاریم پایین. نمیگیم شما مقابله کنید با این جنایت ها که به حکم وظیفه انسانی باید مقابله کنید. سکوت کنید، کاری نداشته باشید، دستتون رو پشت صهیونیست ها بردارید.
Well, Ahmadinejad made those remarks after inaugurating the Karun 4 dam in the central Iranian city of Shahrekord. Ahmadinejad further criticized U.S. attempts to mediate between Israel and Palestinians. He said Washington itself is part of the problem because it has always been on Tel Aviv's side. He also accused the West of adopting double standards towards terrorism. He referred to Western support for the terrorist group Jundullah, which is responsible for numerous deadly attacks on Iran's civilians and officials inside the country. Israel's interior minister has defied international calls to halt all settlement activity on occupied Palestinian land in Jerusalem al-Quds. Eli Yishai said Tel Aviv will continue to build up Jerusalem al-Quds without suspending construction. Yishai accused Israeli leftists of planning to divide the city to a small segment with the East and Arab-majority neighborhoods left intact. His comments come a day after the Vice Prime Minister said construction in the city is unconditional. Silvan Shalom said Israel would lose everything and collapse if building in Jerusalem al-Quds turns into a stumbling block. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has also defied U.S. calls for a settlement freeze to resume indirect peace talks. The Palestinian Authority says talks could only resume if Tel Aviv halts all settlement activity on the occupied West Bank and in East Jerusalem al-Quds. Arab foreign ministers have agreed to raise $500 million for Palestinians in Jerusalem al-Quds. Arab League Chief Amr Moussa says an agreement has been reached for the fund by foreign ministers preparing for a summit of the heads of state in Libya this weekend. The leaders must now ratify the agreement. The Palestinian Authority had put in a request for $500 million in Arab aid to help Jerusalem al-Quds Palestinians cope as they're being squeezed out by Israel's settlement drive despite international condemnations. The Arab League chief called for all talks with Israel, direct or indirect, to be suspended. Now, Arab diplomats say the aim is to set up a commission to record Israeli quote-unquote violations in East Jerusalem al-Quds. They will then be referred to the International Court of Justice in The Hague. Well, Iran's foreign minister has called on the international community to take serious measures against Israel's activities in Jerusalem al-Quds. Manoucher Motsaki has condemned the settlement activities and the destruction of residential areas and Islamic and Christian heritage in the city. He says that these activities show that Tel Aviv intends to take East Jerusalem al-Quds from the Palestinians. He says time should not be wasted in favor of the Israeli long-term plans, which are supported by the United States. Motsaki has also urged Arab leaders to put the issue high on their agenda in their upcoming summit in Libya. Well, participants from over 100 UN member states and international organizations have taken part in a two-day United Nations seminar on the future of Palestine. Our correspondent Eva Manasieva sent us this report.
The two-day seminar under the theme Building Institutions and Moving Forward with Establishing the State of Palestine aimed at garnering support for the program of the Palestinian Authority called Palestine Ending the Occupation, Establishing the State. The program calls for Palestinians to unilaterally build within 24 months the administrative, economic and institutional foundations of an independent state in spite of the Israeli occupation and as a peaceful, constructive means to countering it.
And we're giving ourselves actually 2 years with the help of the international community, and despite what the occupation forces are doing, we want to end the occupation and build a state.
Al Jarbawi said the Palestinian government program reaffirmed Palestinians' explicit commitment to the two-state solution and the authorities stood ready to engage in final status negotiations. Al Jarbawi stressed Palestinians cannot be coerced into coexistence with what he called a fragmented state of leftovers, a state isolated by cantons, separated by walls and checkpoints, and guarded by soldiers of another state. All participants in the seminar were unanimous that, unlike Israel's settlement activity, the Palestinian Authority's program was consistent with international laws.
We see signs from different capitals that they are forthcoming with us on this program. They see it as a positive step, and they're finding it as defining actually the goal and the time limit on this goal. So basically, we have the help of them financially and politically.
The situation in the Gaza Strip has been critical for over 3 years now. Since the blockade started in 2007 and following the Israeli war, which claimed the lives of thousands of civilians, Gaza has been struggling for life in suffocating conditions. Activists and human rights organizations have demanded relief for the people stranded there. With growing international pressure over Israel, hopes now grow that Palestinians could finally be released from the shackles of occupation.
We feel that it is the collective responsibility of the international community to tell Israel, if you do not comply with this consensus, then we are going to resort to practical measures. We have to consider other available options to us, including options in the Security Council, resorting to certain chapters in the Charter of the United Nations to bring Israel, whether they like it or not, into compliance.
The seminar also assessed the current socio-economic situation in the occupied Palestinian territory, addressed the urgency of bringing relief into the Gaza Strip, and looked into ways of mobilizing broad international assistance in support of the Palestinian economy. Diplomats and experts at the seminar said the program of the Palestinian Authority would promote rather than hinder prospects for a peace agreement. The event ended with a strong political message to the international community to keep the pressure on Israel so that it refrains from provocative acts, freezes the settlement construction and lifts the blockade against Gaza. Eva Manasieva, Press TV, from the UN headquarters in Vienna.
On to some other news now. Two children have been killed and four others wounded by U.S. rockets in eastern Afghanistan.
Afghan sources are telling us that the U.S. forces were ambushed by the Taliban militants in Ali Sher district of Khost, a province in eastern Afghanistan bordering Pakistan, and the heavy clashes ensued. And as the U.S. forces were facing heavy resistance by the Taliban militants, the U.S. forces launched two rockets from their base. The Taliban militants were the main target, but these two rockets didn't reach to the intended target and hit a house, killing two children and wounding four others, including two women.
Well, our correspondent said local people gathered in protest outside a NATO base in the city soon after the attack and chanted anti-U.S. slogans. However, the U.S. military claims that the victims are militants. Civilian deaths in Afghanistan have been a source of tension between the Afghan government and the NATO forces. More than 2,000 civilians were killed in Afghanistan last year, the highest figure since the invasion of the country in 2001. Elsewhere, five NATO soldiers have been killed in a firefight in southern Afghanistan. Government sources in Kandahar said a NATO convoy came under attack in the Pashmul area. ISAF, however, has not confirmed the report and says only one soldier was killed in the attack. The latest casualty brings the number of foreign troops killed in Afghanistan so far this year to more than 130. That's a significant rise on the same period last year, when 78 foreign soldiers lost their lives. This comes as the U.S. plans a troop surge in the war-torn country by August. On to neighboring Pakistan now, where jets have pounded suspected militant positions in the northwestern tribal region, killing more than 60 people. The attacks targeted two schools allegedly used by militants in the Orakzai agency. Officials say most of those killed were militants, but they have also confirmed that the attacks hit a nearby center, killing at least 10 civilians. The Pakistani army has stepped up airstrikes in Orakzai and Koram tribal agencies in recent months. The strikes are said to have targeted militants who fled last year's military offensive in South Waziristan. Well, despite reluctance by the U.S., Islamabad has sounded optimistic about getting a positive response from the White House on inking a civilian nuclear deal in ongoing strategic dialogue between the two sides in Washington.
Whether or not somebody likes it, our two countries have made a decision.
Pakistan has projected its ongoing strategic dialogue with the U.S. as unprecedented to forge a long-term partnership.
It is, in a way, unprecedented. This dialogue between our two countries, which is not being held only at the ministerial level, but also its scope is very broad-based. So given this context, we are very optimistic about its outcome.
However, Washington's refusal to promise a deal for a civil nuclear energy cooperation has led many here to believe that the U.S. administration will not go beyond short-term tactical arrangements with Pakistan.
It would be unfair to see this dialogue process only in the context of nuclear civilian cooperation. This dialogue, it's all encompassing, and energy is one area where our two countries are concentrating.
We have once again this afternoon.
After the first round of strategic talks in Washington, the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton seems to have rehashed previous commitments, particularly a $7.5 billion U.S. aid package for Pakistan's energy, water, agriculture, and education sectors. Islamabad is still unclear if the U.S. is willing to pump more money to restore Pakistan's ailing economy.
The United States is going through the worst possible conceivable crisis, economic crisis of its history. Assuming that the United States wants to support Pakistan, well, there is no money in the purse of Washington. These are personal conclusions about commitments that the foreign governments are not making, but we are trying to believe that that is the case.
At the heart of so-called renewed relationship between two sides, there seems to be desperation by Americans to start a gradual pullout from Afghanistan in mid-next year. Analysts point out that Islamabad is giving a face-saving to the U.S. exit strategy by getting hold of top militants' leaders. Javed Rana, Press TV, Islamabad.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Iran says the least the West can do is to stay neutral about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
سکوت کن. کاری نداشته باشید. دستتون از پشت این صهیونیست ها بردارید. این چه دیگه میشه که؟
These two Afghan civilians are killed in a U.S. attack in eastern Afghanistan.
The U.S. forces launched two rockets from their base. The Taliban militants were the main target, but these two rockets didn't reach to the intended target and hit a house, killing two children and wounding four others.
The U.N. Human Rights Council passes a resolution condemning Islamophobic behavior, including Switzerland's ban on minaret building.